Hello and welcome to Illy's Coffee Talks. Season 3 is going to be about all my favorite topics, including slow living, inner work, entrepreneurship, creativity, spirituality, slow traveling, and health. I am Ophélie Cabanero, your host. Enjoy the episode. Good afternoon, Mathilde. Welcome back.
Hello. Thanks for inviting me again.
I'm really excited to do this, as usual. The topics today, we have a few, but let's start maybe with the most recent thing that you posted on Instagram. You posted something that said, what you want is not what you... Maybe we introduce you a little bit, no? Because in English,
maybe he doesn't know me here. I've been here like 7 times.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Mathilde Lecam, and I'm an empowerment coach for women. I have issues speaking today, apparently, but well, let's do that. And I work mostly sex, love, relationships, dating. That's my kind of area of expertise. But yeah, the common ground to all my work is like, how can you go back to choosing what you want, who you want to be, and systematically putting back my clients into their choices, their power. So mm-hmm. That's why I changed my title recently to Empowerment Coach for Women.
Thank you. It was an amazing introduction. Yes, so if you are interested in what Mathilde does, I will put all the links, of course, in the show notes.
Thank you.
So your most recent post said, what you want is not what you truly desire.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us what you meant by that, or what is behind this sentence?
Can you tell me what you said we were going to make an episode about it? I guess you were the most surprised by it. So I'm curious to hear, like, yeah, what okay. was interesting for you in that?
Mathilde today is gonna, maybe if you've listened to the French episodes, you know her talking a lot, but today
she's taking over, and I'll be the host today. So, Ophélie, what did you like about this post, and what spoke you?
Yes, it actually resonated, because that's what I realized also for my life. I sometimes think I want things. Most of the time I think I want things, and then the future shows me that no, actually you don't need to do that. So for example, I thought I wanted to do the whole craniosacral therapy training mm-hmm. until my last module of the basic course, which was with a new teacher, and I thought okay, I won't do the course if it's with this teacher, because I didn't really feel good. And so I thought, okay, beforehand I thought the training is $25,000. I need to come up with that amount of money. I was stressing myself also with this, because we talked about other things before the podcast. And then all of a sudden I don't need to do the whole training anymore, and I don't need to come up with that amount of money. And it's like, wow, you know, and that's why what you want is not what you truly desire, because we think we want all these things, and actually that's not maybe what our soul desires. I don't know if that's what you mean by truly desire. That's how I kind of understand it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there's two parts, I guess, in my post. One is the idea that I don't want to push whatever I'm given the universe or whatever your beliefs are, the opportunities are showing up in your life. Sometimes I would call that a green light, and sometimes it's a red light. So the story, I remember the day before actually all this story happened. So it was in my dating life, but I'm on that date on Friday, and this guy is really what I would call husband material. First date, and I'm like, oh my God, he's ticking all the boxes. And we had really a great night. It was flowing. And when I say he's husband material, I'm not saying that I fell in love right away. It was not love at first sight. It was more like, from a logical point of view, this guy is what
Good.
could be a good match in my life. He's a digital nomad just like me. He likes the same countries or whatever. And the conversation was just easy and flowing. So I got really excited about, oh, yay, we're gonna get to know each other better. And it seems like a really good thing, just to specify like the state of mind. But I was telling him about this story about Mexico. I really wanted to go to Spain in 2020. Like, really wanted to go. I spent 2, 3 months just visioning, like this villa I was going to have by the beach, and I could feel the sun on my skin, and it was so much fun. And I was speaking Spanish all the time. I was re-nourishing my vision day after day, and it was lockdown 2020. So I had a lot of time to just feed this vision. And when the restrictions lift up, I started to do what I usually do, like nomading. It's like I would try to look for accommodation. I would contact people. Where do I live? Which city? Try to gather information. Everything I was attempting to go to Spain was just like an ending up in a wall. Every time, every message I sent, I had zero answer. Zero. It never happens in my life. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, it's okay. I'll take a car and I will drive with my friend to Spain, and then she will take the plane back. Her flight got canceled. And after so many like no from the universe, I ended up quite frustrated. And I remember having a chat with my friend, and I'm like, you know what? I don't like to push things. If it's not for now, I'm gonna drop it, because I keep having signs that that's not the right direction. Like, there's no green light. It's red. Okay, I went to sleep that night, and I went to sleep, and I was kind of angry at the universe, God, which I don't really know to how to define this by myself, but this kind of higher power that I think is helping me co-creating in life. And I was like, okay, well, we're not going to Spain. Give me a freaking sign. Like, I want to know where we're going. It's fall, we're moving. That's normal. So it's funny because I slept, and the morning after, I just woke up, and like a normal person, I was scrolling on my phone, and I found a blog article about Tulum, Mexico. And in that moment, it was just saying that all the digital nomads in the world were going to Mexico that year, blah 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 blah. And I'm just like, where the fuck is this city? I've never heard about this place. So I started looking for information. I sent a text to my friend in the US, which I was supposed to meet, and he's just like, bitch, let's go. I just rented a house a week ago. Like, come, there's a room for you. Like, what? Okay, give me a few minutes to check a little bit further if this new plan is doable or not.
to book the
Yeah. But so I started to sit looking for flights, and the amount of money that was necessary to pay for the flight was the exact 10, 20 euros, more or less. It was the exact same amount of money that Air France, the airlines, was owing me from a previous ticket from like a year before, that I've tried multiple times to get. Every time I was giving a phone call, yeah, you're gonna get it. And they were never paying me. And so I'm telling myself, well, if I call Air France right now and they give me the money, that's a sign. I did. I make it short. They give me the money right away. I just bought the flights right away. And in the end, like, when I reflected on my experience, I'm like, well, my intention in my heart, what I really wanted, was to speak Spanish and be close to the ocean. That was the desire in my heart. And It was brought to me, just not in the form that I was expecting. I thought it was Spain. Spain was ticking all the boxes. It was closer to my family. No, but when the universe is giving you green lights, it's like, whoosh, green lights, highway. So the same happened recently in my dating life. That's why I wrote the post. So I'm dating this guy, he's ticking all the boxes. But the day after, he said he wanted to spend some time with me, but at the same time, he wanted to be alone. And suddenly I'm just not feeling the green light. I can't say I was feeling a full red, but it's not green. I'm not feeling it. So I was a little bit upset. I spent a few hours like, man, I don't know what happened. He was ticking all the boxes. Why the universe is playing with me like that? It's not fun. Anyway, I did my practices like I usually do, cleared all the, inner child frustration, whatever was going on. And honestly, like right where when I finished my practices and I could feel I'm at peace in my body, in my mind again, and yeah, I'll drop it. It's okay. I received a text from a guy that I've been chatting with for about a month, but I was not sure I wanted to meet him because he's not ticking all the boxes. He's really nice. He's been really patient. I've wanted to meet him before. I've canceled at the last second, this kind of thing. Like, yeah. And every time he just gave me green lights, green lights, green lights, more patience, more understanding, more flexibility. And without being a doormat, just being genuinely nice and waiting for me to be in the right mood to meet him. That was interesting. So on that afternoon, I'm just like, well, would you accept a video chat? Which is kind of half dating for me. It's when I'm not sure it was the time, or I do video chat, then I got a confirmation, And in this video chat, it's like we chatted for an hour and a half, and it was just so nice, so fluid. So of course my decision was made to meet him anyway, relationship or not. We had a really great time. And so the morning after this video chat, I really woke up with this kind of weird sensation. I'm like, ooh, déjà vu. This guy was ticking all the boxes. He's my Spain now. And what if this other guy was Mexico? And I was reflecting on how I could follow easily the signs or the 3D in my life in general, in work, in all these things. But when it goes to my love life, I started to wonder. I was just like, do I follow the green lights? Or do I keep, like being stubborn, thinking what I desire and what I need and what I want and what is a good match for me will look like this, that. And suddenly I got curious and I'm like, well, I love playing. The universe loves playing with me. How about I go and meet this guy? What's the risk? I can meet him, and if I don't like him, I just step back and turn around and say, hey, it was nice. And I really felt excited, like about this new experience, about this new perspective in my life. Like, oh, there's a way to switch gears, even in my love life, like to not do the same things over and over again. And I was so excited to be offered a new something, a new experience. And at that point, I had no idea if it was a good thing, a bad thing, if it was going to be fulfilling or not. Lots of questions, but I just calmed everything in my mind, saying like, hey, this is fun. This is a fun experience to live it this way. Let's go. And well, I already told you I don't want to give details, but I've been seeing this person more than once since that day, and it's great. And when I posted this thing about what I want is not what I really desire. No, he's not what I want on the paper. He's not ticking any of the boxes. He's not husband material at all. At all. But is he ticking all the internal boxes? Like my heart's desire, I wanted someone to be present. I wanted someone to be kind. I wanted someone to welcome me. When I open his door, he literally says, welcome. And he hugs me. It's the most beautiful thing I've felt in month, maybe years, this genuine welcome. And that's exactly what I wanted to feel. So
At home.
Yeah, it's like I can't tell right away if the signs are the signs for a forever thing, and I honestly think it's not. But like Mexico was never a forever thing for me. But you know, when I look back at Mexico and the experience I had there, what I really desired, speaking Spanish, being at the beach, was deeply fulfilled for 9 months. And I realized because of the COVID regulations, basically I was offered by the universe something better than being in Spain, because Spain was under heavy, heavy restriction at the same time. So I had the most glorious winter at the beach, improving my Spanish and everything. So what I'm feeling for this relationship, for example, no matter where it leads, when it ends, it's deeply fulfilling what my heart's desire now, basically, and that I've been longing for months. So I'm like, yeah, I'll take it. Thank you. More.
So basically what I hear is that it's more about being aware of how you want to feel, no matter the situation. Like you want to feel welcomed, you want presence, you want to feel good, instead of focusing on how it should look on the outside.
Yeah, and I think if I remember well, I ended my post saying, "Would you be ready to receive your deepest desire in a shape or form that wasn't expected?" And I think we have this tendency when we really desire something, especially if it's far away in the future. You were talking about, your vision board and the house, and our mind starts working, saying like, "Oh, but to buy this kind of really expensive house, I'm gonna have to work this, that, and do this, that." When maybe you can win the lottery. And there's a part of me thinking that if we restrict our minds and get too attached in the form, we are missing out on some stuff. So, for example, when I think about you and the house, my
So
question would
just to
be,
say, like I wrote a blog post yesterday about it, if you wanna look at it, it's about throughout the title is Throughout Your Vision Board. Exactly, because of what we're talking right now.
amazing. And my question is, when I'm thinking about your house, like, what is the desire of your heart when you think about this house? Like, what is it that you want to feel?
So there is a lot of, like I was saying before the podcast, there was a lot of not hard desires, but a lot of fear and conditioning, limiting belief, and all that, that wanted this house, that house. But at the same time, there was a lot of, I want the comfort than the security this house is going to bring me.
Comfort and security. And I'm pretty sure that there are lots of other houses, apartments, even maybe tents. You're the specialist of camping now.
We'll get back
I'm pretty
to
sure that
that.
there are lots of opportunities for you to get safety and comfort that would not look like this house,
Of
but maybe
course.
would fulfill even more this desire for comfort and safety. And yeah, I mean, my question, and mostly to myself, it was that, like, how much do I miss out? How much do I let things pass because I don't recognize my desire in them, whether it's things, opportunities, people, just because they don't look the way I expect them to look. For me, that's kind of the interesting, I wouldn't call that a lesson, the interesting experiment that is thrown at me right now. Maybe we talk about it again in a few months, but so far it's been interesting and fulfilling to follow.
And I think it's also what you said, it might not be forever, and often we think we have to make that choice and we have to stick to it forever.
Yeah.
And it's not really, I feel that things are changing all the time these days, and yeah, it's not really the way anymore. If we can let that go, maybe things can, I don't know,
Flow
they can
more. It's
flow
like
more. Yeah.
if we remove all the old rules that we had before, and it's funny because I was with my date today and we had this conversation around societal expectations around marriage and kids and all these things. And I think he was having a massive breakthrough, like, but it's not necessary. I mean, who said it was what makes a life fulfilled and meaningful and purposeful? Like, well, dude, I knew that. But I think there's always a layer to decondition somehow.
Of
So
course.
for me, it was not about marriage and kids anymore because I'm past, I think, that point. Maybe not even completely. But yeah, same. Like, where are the expectations that are still preventing me from flowing my best life instead of living my best life? It's like, if I allow myself to change and to be flowing, whether it's in my job, but also in my friendships, in the places I live, in my romantic relationships, like, what does it become? And I think it becomes a very joyful, fulfilling life. Is it following any kind of expectations? Ew, no. What do we do with that?
I think it's still, when I hear you talk, I can still feel the resistance for myself, you know, because on the one hand I kind of do it, and on the other I'm like, oh, yeah, but no, but that's not okay, you know? So
I think it's a process. I mean, I still feel my resistance every day, all day as well. Like, I'm not reaching this point of like total acceptance and flow, but I think it's good that we are able to acknowledge it more and more, and taking it as an invitation every time we catch ourselves, like, you know, how, being limited by a certain type of conditioning, just asking ourselves, like, where does this come from? Does it this rule comes from me? Is it serving me? Is it serving my purpose? Is it serving my joy? If not, well, bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, totally. Yeah, so that was for, I think, that topic, which makes us slide into the next, flow into the next topic, which is you were saying you're a digital nomad. And this summer, Till and I came to visit you in Nantes because you were briefly in France for the summer. And I realized, I think, what it takes to be a digital nomad that at that time, and I said, Mathilde, I want to do a podcast with you about it. So, what is it like to be a digital nomad? What does it take? What?
Same, my question is like, what did you realize? Because
Yeah.
if you say that, it means you had an idea before, which I think is common to a lot of people. So if you don't mind, I'd
Yeah.
like you to say it out loud. And then I'm going to tell
And
you
then you
what's
react,
my
yeah.
experience.
So again, I would like to say that Mathilde could be a great host and she could
I'm
totally
going to
start
be a
her own
great host.
podcast.
I think it's going to happen. Letting things flow, but we're getting there. We're getting there.
Awesome.
Probably going to be one of my first guests.
Yay. So, yeah, I think we didn't even, so we had 1 month and we took many trains, and the goal of the trip was to do a slow travel trip, which means to mean try to pollute the least possible, and by taking public transportation and not a plane for short distances. We were in France, so we were not going to take a plane. Yeah, but that means you are sitting for hours in trains with other people, which I don't like, especially the toilet part. But anyway, the digital nomad life, let's say, you're not always Well, I guess you are often traveling and often in planes and things like that more than other people probably. But what really, yeah, this being constantly on the move, even though you can live for a few months at the same place, sure. But you always have to find your trouver tes marques. You always have to kind of see, okay, where is the supermarket? Where is my favorite cafe? Whatever. Of course, I'm going to take that example, but can be anything. The things you need, the things you need to feel good. And you were also giving that example of having everything digital. Obviously, like books, and I was like, oh, but I like my books, and yeah, okay, I guess it
Yeah, I mean,
wouldn't.
there are definitely a few things that you're mentioning that at first people don't really realize. So there's this dream, and people look at Instagram and it's like, oh my God, I wish I could work from my computer. I would be in Thailand and I would go to the beach and then work. Yes, I've done that. It's completely doable. Some things people are not aware of. I've met people that had to work in the middle of the night
Yeah.
to match their, you know, like their time zone and stuff like that. That is something you could do for a few months. It's fun. I can tell you, I don't know a lot of people that find it sustainable in the long term. So that would be something that people
That you need to think about.
That would make people, you know, like stop nomading because of that. But let's imagine you have your own job, you're an entrepreneur maybe, or you can work any time zone with a free schedule. Then yes, there's this thing. So every time you change location, you basically have to redo all your life. So it's fun for a few months, and I hope that you like solitude quite a lot, because even though you're a very social person, it's not that easy to create real connection with people. I do that, I think, quite easily. It's kind of a gift. Like, I'm open to talking to people. I'm not looking for them, but somehow I'm lucky enough that they come and talk to me. Or there's always a joke to crack on the bus and then I make friends. But you know what I mean? It's like I've met a lot of digital nomads who are actually suffering from solitude, loneliness, and feeling like they had all they desired, but feeling empty at the same time because they were lacking the connection. And friends, I feel, are easy to make pretty much anywhere if you're more on the social side and you're not afraid of talking to people and opening your heart. You can find lots of connection on the way. I find it a little bit challenging to find romantic connections because, in general, people who are nomading are very independent by nature, are very driven, and are people that knows who they want to go. It's like, and if you put two people like that in a relationship, I want to go there and I want to go on the other side, it can create friction. I would say most of the digital nomad I know, including myself, have this kind of dream that, you know, we want to fulfill. We want to visit these countries, we want to go there. And sometimes it comes at the price of anything else. And I think relationship is probably one of the first thing we are willing to sacrifice. And you can do that for a few years, but and I've recently listened to a podcast, and a guy that he's been nomading for, I don't know, 20, 30 years. He was a nomad before it was a thing to be a nomad. And he was talking about how he just got married, and that when he was on the road, he didn't really feel like he was lonely or he was missing a person or needing someone. And I have to say, it's kind of the same for me. Most of the time, I'm happy with myself. I'm happy with like the connections I'm creating, even if it's not permanent. I'm cool with that. I love the flow of things. I'm more scared of boredom than challenging myself to change. and to discover new things. So, but for example, I realized this year, like as I was building my business more, I needed a little bit more stability. So these years where I was spending 3 months here, 3 months there, 3 months there, it's exhausting. And same, like it's not for everyone. Some people can really do good and they just kind of camp everywhere. And they're, I would say, even more nomadic in soul than I am. I like my comfort. And for example, just what you were saying. So every time I'm going to change location, I end up in a new Airbnb or hotel, homestay, whatever. Is the bed comfortable? I can tell you, 50% chances, it's not great.
And we're
When it's
getting
different,
older, you
and
know?
we're getting older, and there are some things like I value my sleep much more than I used to when I was 20. Now I need it, especially with the days where I want to work efficiently and just, you know, feel healthy and energetic in my life. So the bed is something. How to cook. I love cooking. And when you're nomading, eating outside when you are in Thailand or in Nepal or India where it's cheap, that's a thing. And still, at some point, for me, it becomes boring. I love to cook my own
Me too.
food, my own taste. So, same, changing location. You don't have your kitchen. So you have to adapt with whatever pans you have. Most of the time, nothing is crazy well equipped. So you can say bye-bye to the blender, the oven, or whatever. And same, like after you've been nomading for a while, like now I would definitely choose a place where there's an oven, especially if it's winter, because I know it's going to make me happy to cook in the oven. But especially when you start, you just take whatever is good enough. I've struggled at some point with like not having proper curtains in my room because I like to sleep in the dark. Most of the places I've been, there's almost no curtains. So, and then the question comes up all the time, like how much investment do I make in a place that is not going to be permanent? So of course, if you're really rich and you have all the money to spend and you don't care, well, you can make any place comfortable. You can change the bed, snap your fingers, but that's not how most of the people around me live. You just try to find a decent accommodation. And what I see more and more is that at some point, when you've been doing that for a while, you don't go in hostels anymore. Nobody wants to do that. I mean, when you're working and you have calls and you have schedules and everything, there's no way you're like sleeping with 15 people in a hostel. I mean, so something that people have to understand as well, I think, is that there's a massive difference in between backpacking for holidays or for a limited amount of time, even if it's 1 year, and digital nomading, which is you work from your computer anywhere you want, and mostly from different locations. Something that pushed me to start to travel slower is community. We were talking about friends, and I felt like as long as I didn't have like too much work, for example, when we met in Bali, I was not really working at that time. I was living on my savings, so I had lots of time to create connection outside, to meet people at the yoga class, to do workshops, do whatever. But this year, where my main focus is work, I don't have that much time to explore and to create connections and to do tourism. That's not what I want. I want to be able to focus on work. And I realize that I can't do both, be 100% in my work and at the same time be worrying because that's about my internet connection. Oh, that's a big one when you're nomading. Internet connection. What food am I going to eat? How comfortable is my place? Are my neighbors loud or not? Same, like there are probably some people that are able to do it all. For me, at some point, it became a necessity this year to have a sense of community around. So I just stopped in a country where I could find that. And I live in Georgia for the moment. I'm in Tbilisi. And I'm always saying that it's not the dream destination that I've been before? Definitely not. I mean, I prefer Thailand, or maybe Mexico is more exciting in some ways. But here I found a deep sense of community. I found long-term friends. I'm able to go to dance classes, which I haven't been able to do in some crazy remoted places where I've hung out before. So yeah, it's mostly about that, like the stress of changing location all the time, building community and being okay with aloneness. And there was another aspect I was thinking about, and of course I forgot.
That you were looking for this year, that you wanted more?
Community and stability, like,
For work.
yeah, for work to be able to expand on the other side. Oh yeah, I know. It's also about, for example, in Georgia right now, I've met some people on dating apps and around that are telling me how disappointed they are about Georgia. And you know why? Because these people are looking at Instagram to choose their destinations. And that is something that is kind of making me laugh all the time, because Instagram really creates this desire for the beautiful things and the filters, and you show only the good things of your experience, or mostly. So,
I
for
don't.
example, yeah, and me, not always. I mean, I've definitely showed some dreamy stuff because I've been in dreamy places. I know sometimes what it takes. It's like, for example, when I was in Mexico, I told you about the seaweeds. So it's something that if you do some research, you're gonna find out. But half the year is insanely hot. And when I say insanely, it's like I'm used to tropical countries, but the level of heat is serious. And the beach is covered with seaweeds that are so stinky that you can't, like be on the beach. It stinks. It's really disgusting. But that is something you don't see on Instagram. I've seen, like places in Thailand where you would take the blue water, the crystal water at the beach, and you just turn the angle slightly, and then you have a pile of garbage. And I've seen, like so many places being kind of, yeah, it's like you see only one angle. And after traveling so much and in a lot of Instagrammable places as well, it's like now I'm not impressed anymore. But for people who are expecting that, sometimes they face a massive disappointment where they don't find these beautiful things, or it's like one person great things under a pile of garbage things. And for example, I think the city of Tbilisi, I'm sorry, Tbilisi people, but when you come from Europe, like France or Spain, where we are so spoiled with amazing historical architecture and stuff like that, here the most amazing buildings are very old monastery. If you're into that, you got the monasteries. And the city in itself, it's mostly ex-Soviet Union type of architecture, which is not the most beautiful according to my European taste. So I would say if you're prepared to go as a digital nomad in a country, you're going to have amazing experiences. And obviously, I'm not saying that to discourage anyone, because I love this life. And even though I've slowed down, I'm still not living in my own country, and I'm still enjoying it, still making plans to, other destinations. So it's a life I love, but I've met a lot of people that gave up on it and didn't find what they were looking for. But if it's about meeting new people, getting confronted to a new culture and new ways of doing things and adapting and finding some kind of joy in adapting in all those challenges, oh yeah, that's a fun life. But if you're just expecting the dream Instagram life, You're probably going to be a little bit, disappointed somehow, or find it more challenging than expected.
Yeah, it's definitely challenging. It's one of the things that this year, I mean, when I came back from the trip, I did a podcast about being disillusioned about many things. It was especially when I got back. I think it started on holiday already that I wanted to try exactly this longer kind of holiday where I work at the same time. I wanted to try that with my husband, and it was a complete disaster. And I thought, okay, well, the dream of traveling together and working together on the road, I don't need to have that dream anymore. Yeah, I think it was a great learning, just even just for that, to let that go for
But at
me.
the same time, I think you did it in the most challenging condition
Yeah.
possible. You were
But
camping, you went by train. I mean, you went really hard
even
and
if I
committed on
was,
this one.
I mean, okay, maybe having a car would have changed, but
Your crazy holidays and the disappointment that comes with it. Most of the nomads would work from home. I work mostly from home because of my client sessions and stuff like that. Cafes, yes, sometimes, or co-working spaces.
Yeah, there
And
was also one there, yeah.
I've met a lot of people also that take the co-working space as a base for a lot of things because you work there, but it's mostly also where you meet people, like you're in an office. And for
I
me, it
am.
would always make me laugh because I've met some people who would just do the 9 to 5 at the co-working space. Which I find kind of funny,
Yeah.
but still, when you're doing that in Thailand, well, you're doing your 9 to 5, but you can go to the beach from 7 to 8:30, and after that, so.
Yeah, so I made it a little more challenging than it needed to be. But still, I think there is also a lot of people like on Instagram there. I posted a photo like of the tent and what is what they show you on Instagram, and what it actually it looks like in real life. But there are a lot of people who are digital nomads and doing van life and all these things, and I think a lot of times, like you said, you just see the cool picture and then you don't see
You
all
don't
the
see all the
things behind.
shit.
Yeah. The literal shit, actually. There is a girl, a French girl who does YouTube videos, and she did van life, and she was saying that, yeah, actually most of the spots, it's full of trash because people are not educated. They don't know. This was in Europe, huh? Or in the North America, and yeah, they just leave their stuff. The illusion of Instagram, and yet we're on it too. But it's what
I'll try to post more garbage.
it
Especially in the beautiful places where I go, I'll make sure I have a little garbage here and there to make it real.
Yeah. Thank
And
you.
I'll tag you on it.
Yeah, do it. Oh my God. Yeah.
Hashtag real garbage. Real landscape.
No illusion. Yeah. So that was for the nomadic life. And then we had a little theme that you wanted to talk about. It was regarding, I think the podcast we did previously was in French. It was about high vibration. Like how to feel.
Do you really want to
And
put that in this
in this
podcast?
one?
It's a lot, no? Maybe we keep it for another day somehow.
Okay. So I'm done actually. I could laugh about garbage for another half hour, but
Me too, of course.
yeah, we always have a good time when we meet. Usually we laugh a lot. You have no idea. What did we talk about before the podcast? Anything useful to share? Anything you want to share?
I mean, we talked about it, about flowing and stuff. And I'm gonna watch what you're going to send me very soon. And
Kyle sees.
maybe we do another one at some point about flowing and what happens when we flow even more and even more and even more in our lives, and if you feel it has positive consequences or not. I'd like to hear
Well,
about that.
so what is behind flowing? I think it can. I just want to say that. I'm gonna say that. My dear coach, I have many, but one of them, she says, yeah, just, in the morning when you wake up, let yourself be guided by this thing we don't know how to call it. And you really ask, okay. Well, actually, she said, ask your highest self in every situation. What does the highest self want to say? Instead of reacting right away, or even when I write a text and it's something difficult, or I have to cancel something and I feel bad about it, I ask the highest self, okay, what should I say? And I feel that, and you said it before, co-creating in this way is so relaxing, when you let go of your control. Now, of course, we don't let go of it 100%, but
No, but I think that would be cool because if you're writing a shitty text, then you can say, God made me do this.
not me, my highest self.
Yeah, I mean, I co-created the spaces in between the words. That was not me.
You don't agree with what I'm saying?
Honestly, it's like, it's funny that you're talking about it because it's something that comes back a lot for me lately, this idea that you can, oh, actually I know why, because you gave me this you sent me this podcast with this Gilbert, and she's talking about it at some point, and she's talking about Byron Katie that hasn't done anything for X amount of years, 20 plus since she reached illumination or enlightenment, whatever you're calling it. But since she had that experience, she said she hasn't decided to do anything, that she wakes up in the morning and she lets God moves her. And when I heard the podcast, I could hear right away my resistance to it. And I was just like, oh no, but I didn't come on this her earth to just like be a puppet or something like that. Like the Like, where am I if I let God take the reins of everything? It's not even fun. Like, and I was talking about it with one of my therapists, and she was saying that it's the part of the ego that is clinging to this experience because we're so scared of disappearing somehow when maybe the experience is not as radical of that. And I can't tell you what it looks like because I haven't experienced it myself yet, or maybe following the green lights, maybe that's already what I'm doing. But I always question my beliefs around stuff like that. It's like I feel the resistance, but the resistance comes with the idea that the way I understand it is that if I'm not deciding I don't exist or I'm useless or something like that. What if it was bringing a better experience in general to my life? And in this moment, I have no idea what it would look like, but that's where all the expansions in my mind starts from. You know, it's like I identify this belief and the resistance. And I try to release it by opening with a question. Could it be different? Could it be different? And then I let, you know, it's like I open the door and I let whatever wants to come in, come in. And in general, people send me podcasts or read articles, write articles about that. And suddenly the experience is coming and other beliefs are coming in, and the mix of everything is opening new doors for me in my consciousness, so I can really experience it in the 3D, in the living world.
I think it's great to question that kind of stuff. And I think often there I hear things and then I hear them again from another person and maybe in a slightly different way. And then again, slightly different way, but it means the same thing and et cetera, et cetera. And I watched it was it's random, but it made me think of it when you were talking. A Netflix documentary called The Mind Explained, and the episode of the second season. In this episode, there's a psychiatrist talking, and he says, I don't know if it actually really makes sense in this context, but I thought of it, so I'm going to say it. Distraction is a way of avoiding existential anxiety. And he says, humans are ambivalent about being free. On the one hand, we say, I want to be free, but when we are free, it feels metaphorically like we don't have gravity. And as a result, people build these balls and chains into their lives so that they don't experience that freedom.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see the, how it relates to just what we were saying, but I think it's very true, and it's something that if people have never questioned themselves about that, like I felt it, especially, you know, like when you're nomading and the especially the moments where I didn't have to work, I could feel dizziness somehow about the amount of options, the amount of choices I have. And yes, we could think it would be easier because you have more options, but the responsibility that goes with it, the fear of doing the wrong thing that comes up, plus just like, yeah, I've definitely felt it. Like if I'm free, I can really do anything. Yes, there's joy, but there's fear. There's no structure anymore.
Exactly. And I think when I heard that yesterday, I had to write it down because who would have thought on Netflix? But it's the most profound thing I've heard in so long. And I don't know how to bounce back from that. But yeah, we were at the letting ourselves be guided. I think it's a little bit, it goes parallel, maybe, you know, like
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel where you got the link in between. It's this, maybe it's the same kind of floaty sensation when you're like, but what's gonna happen if I let God, spirit, whatever guide me? And suddenly there's this thing, oh my God, everything becomes possible. What is it going to make me do? Or
But in
and
a, if you feel, I think you just have to, you don't have to believe in that at all. Maybe you already turned off the podcast, it's okay. But if you try it for with usually maybe you cannot do that by yourself first. So maybe with a coach like us, you can, who holds space, someone who holds the space for you and who is connected in some way, like my coach, for example, does for me in those moments, in those sessions where, or she does it when we have a coffee even, you know, and she usually I cry. And usually that's the sign, oh, wow, okay, I'm feeling something. I'm feeling so much better. Okay, I let myself be guided. I trust it feels freaking amazing because usually before that I was crying my eyes out because I was not feeling whatever there was trauma, there was whatever. And then she makes me connect in this way, helps me, and I feel totally different. And then that's how I know for me that it works. I'm gonna feel so much more relaxed, for example, like I said. And I'm gonna be able to work, for example, easier. Like I redid the text on my website, and for a few weeks I was like, okay, I should do this text again. I don't know what to write. I don't know. And then I was in one of those moments where I felt super connected. I went I sat down at the river. The sun was shining. It's freaking amazing. Swans were passing by, like ducks. It was so cute. And then that I was writing in my journal. I was started to write for myself, and all of a sudden the text appeared. And I'm sure you had those moments too, where things become effortless. She's like, "Yeah, of course." But the, so I think it's this. But what do you think then? If it's not that.
I'll let you know when I'm there, but I think there's more to it. That's how I feel, because we were saying it before that we still feel some kind of resistance every day to really flow with anything in life. I think the moment where there's no resistance anymore or way less, we're gonna start experiencing that, but on a much deeper, more profound level, and it will probably be more impactful in our lives as well. So I think it's great that we keep playing with it, and probably we're already touching it in these kind of moments of allowance and peace and ease when you have something to write, and it's not that you don't want to write it, but at some point you're just gonna flow and let yourself be guided by the riverside and becomes a pleasurable moment. But I don't know, when you were talking, I was just like, is this flow, or is it just like controlling the experience and making it just a little bit more pleasurable and easy?
Is this flow or is
Flow,
it?
or is it just making it a little bit more pleasurable and easy, in the sense that there are some stuff that I know I have to do, and every time I'm saying I have to do that, basically I'm not sure I'm connected with any kind of deeper flow. You know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe I am. But every time I would free myself from one layer of conditioning that I have to do it seated in my home at my table, and instead go for a walk first. Just being aware that there's sun shining and it's amazing, it's an amazing scene. It looks like paradise because you have ducks and swans and everything. Just being aware of that connects you to beauty and to more ease and to more flow. Is it all there is to this like flow experience and let God's spirit express itself through you? My guess is there's much, much more to it.
Much more to it. So you mean when you are to connect to the divine, that's not that. It would be something different.
My intuition tells me that it would be different, and we're probably not able to grasp it yet because it's not part of our experience. But I think it's also a matter of how long can we keep this connection go. So I don't think it's just like one hit of something in your morning that says you're doing that today, like an inspiration. I think it's more like a sense of presence in everything that you're doing. First, your own presence, which I think is hard enough to develop. And you were talking about all the distractions that are keeping ourselves from experiencing, from life, from our bodies, from our sensations, from
Emotions, yeah.
everything, from our emotions. And I think when once we're able to cultivate this kind of presence much more in our life, then it becomes much easier to create space for something even more connected, God, spirit, whatever. And that's the way I kind of imagine it. And this idea that you're not doing things by yourself, it's like you can be present and at the same time so open that everything flows through you. But I'll call you next week to tell you how it goes, like with the new experiment. But yeah, it's a lot of concepts, and I think practice is the only way that we can get to expand our minds, our hearts, and to live a genuine experience for ourselves, because we can talk about it for hours.
I also don't know, right, if I have the answer or not. I just say what I experience and how it feels, and what I think it is. And as long as it helps me, I don't care,
I completely agree with that in the end, whatever belief I have, and I have some clear beliefs, and I'm like, is it serving me? Why do I believe that? It serves because it makes me feel better. I
Yeah,
keep
exactly.
it. And it's okay to keep it and to be aware that it's still a belief.
Yeah. I mean,
I was having a conversation about reincarnation yesterday,
yeah.
and the question was, do you believe in reincarnation? And I'm like, well, I won't fight for it, like, because I don't know ultimately if it exists or not. It's just that what makes sense for me in my heart, in my soul, and it has always been like that. Is it okay if people don't believe it in front of me? Yes. Is it okay that someone give me proof that it doesn't exist? And yes. Because in the end, I think we're going to find out when we die.
Yeah, indeed.
And probably not
Yeah.
before. And in the meantime, does it help me in my life? I feel yes.
Yeah. To
It's an
not do
idea that I
bullshit.
enjoy, that somehow there's some kind of continuity after death. Do I want to fight for it because it's something so strong? No. It's okay if you
Yeah.
don't believe the same thing.
Yeah. But this is the kind of thing we can not know, yeah. Until next time. Yeah.
Yeah, or some people like to have, and maybe they have their proofs for their lives that it's enough, you know. But for example, on that belief, for me, it's just a belief because I have no certainty around that. And it's okay.
But sometimes also, you know, sometimes there are those, for example, Kyle sees, I will send you a video of him, and sometimes he says things that resonate so much that I start crying. So then I know, yeah, it resonates. I believe this, you know, because my body had this reaction. And then I don't care if it's true or whatever. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's
it's
just true for
to
me.
be able to have like discernment in between what you consider your own truth and the ultimate truth. And I think a lot of people are confused about both. I think whoever's experience is valid and true in itself, because if a person is experiencing whatever, there's no reason for me to question that. But is it ultimately true? I think everything is illusion. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but there is no one truth. That's what I learned. I would love for it to be one truth, and this is how the world works. But apparently, it's not like that. So, if it resonates for me, it's enough.
Agree. And you're not trying to kill other people that don't have the same belief
Yeah,
as you. That's
yeah.
awesome. Yeah.
And kill
Let us be free.
people in general, like also if we can avoid
It's
that
not really nice.
is
It's not a really nice thing to do.
I don't know how my reincarnation would look like after that, you
What if
know.
it was better than the actual one?
If I kill someone, who knows? We'll never know. We'll never know. Yeah. Thank you, Mathilde, for talking to me with me
Thank you for
today.
inviting me to have these crazy conversations
Yes.
again.
Thank
Know
you
how
for
much I
listening
enjoy.
and bearing with us until now. Let us know what you think of all this woo-woo talk, and until next time.